Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue on a theme of this week of just talking about how present the Lord is and how much He wants to help us in these challenging situations. And greater is He that's in you than He that's in the world. And the fact is that our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth, and there's nothing in this world that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And the source of happiness, joy, comes from living in the knowledge, the conviction, the confidence, entrusting ourselves to the promises of the Lord, that He is indeed radically, totally committed to us and loves us profoundly from His heart and has done everything He can to begin to unite us in really through the grace of the Holy Spirit, through our baptism, made it possible for us to live this life in a way that we're living in Him, with Him, living from Him, whether it's through the sacraments of the life of the church, the ministry, the preaching, the Word of God, the fellowship, all the things the Lord has given to us. At the core, those are all expressions and realities and ways in which the Lord communicates His love and His power to us, enabling us to live a life that no matter what the circumstance, we can walk in peace. We can begin to bear the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And part of being able to enter into that more fully in our lives is to really get a clearer picture of the Lord Himself. As I said on Monday a bit, talking about as St. Paul and Peter and other apostles prayed that we could see what they saw. We could come more deeply into a realization. We could have an experiential knowledge of the reality of the beauty and the majesty of Jesus. And one of the places we can see it and touch it, where you get real help, is reading the Catechism. The Catechism taking Scripture itself and then helping us understand and expand on what that means. And so I just want to take a couple paragraphs today from the Catechism to just focus on the amazing reality of who Jesus is. And I just want to share with you things that it says to me and how it inspires me, and hopefully it can inspire you as well. And thank you for joining me today. And Lord, I ask that You Yourself, through the grace of the Holy Spirit, would grant us this morning the grace to see You more clearly, follow You more nearly, right? Love You more dearly, to really belong to You more fully. Lord, open the eyes of our hearts, as St. Paul prayed so passionately to the Father, that He would open the eyes of our hearts, each person listening, that we could see the hope to which we have been called, the hope that's revealed perfectly, Jesus, in Your glorified existence at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. You, as the book of Revelation described, the faithful witness who witnessed to us, You've revealed the truth, all the important truth we need to know to find ultimate meaning, identity in this world, to find the mission that we've been given. You've revealed it to us. You're the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. You have passed from death to life, Lord. In You has begun the new creation, the new thing the Father had planned from all time, to glorify You, Jesus, to glorify Him in His goodness, God the Father's amazing love and goodness, and to grant us a capacity to literally share in that glory in our lives, a reality so far beyond our wildest imagining. Lord, we're barely even touching it now. We ask that You, as Moses prayed so long ago, Lord, show us Your glory. Just ordinary people like us, Lord, sinful, broken people, show us Your glory, Lord. We know You love us and we trust You. And You said, seek it and we'll find it. And we do seek You, Lord, above all things. And You're the, you know, You're the firstborn from the dead, the faithful witness, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Lord, we ask that Your kingship, Your majesty, Your governance, Your lordship would be exercised more fully in our lives. Help us to live in it, under it, Lord, we invite you to be enthroned in our hearts as St. Peter exhorted us to do, that our eyes could be fixed on you, that we follow your commandments, we follow your leadership, and we follow it out of love, out of a deep, radical love, and a holy fear of your name, Lord. As you yourself, Isaiah, told us, you know, who had the gifts you shared with us in confirmation, Lord, that you, one of them is the fear of the Lord, and your word says you delighted in the fear of the Lord. Teach us to delight in the filial, healthy fear of God. And we can't do that, Lord, without your help. We can't do it without seeing the holiness and the majesty of the Father. Help us today, Lord. Mother Mary, we pray, you who are robed in glory, you who have been crowned in heaven to pray for us, and Saint Joseph, you know, the defender of the righteous, Lord, pray for us, stand with us, strengthen us. Saints of heaven, pray for us. Angels of heaven, help us see. In Jesus' name. Paragraph 663 of the Catechism. Henceforth, Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. By the Father's right hand, we understand the glory and honor of divinity, where he who exists as Son of God before all ages, indeed as God, of one being with the Father, is now seated bodily after he became incarnate and his flesh was glorified. There is so much, friends, in that one paragraph and what it means that Jesus, in his human flesh, the human flesh that has been glorified, is now at the right hand of the Father. This past year, as I've tried to press into, you know, the opportunity that COVID gave us, maybe that's the way to say it, to just be more, you know, the whole idea of be still and know that I'm God, to know that all that's unfolding in the world, none of it's outside the permissive will of God. I personally believe, as I've said many times in the program, God is shaking the nations to awaken the nations to the reality of his existence. Friends, the most foolish, destructive thing a human being and human beings and societies can do is to live a life as if God doesn't exist, to craft a story about life, or to, you know, craft a dream about life and a mission that excludes God. That is going to lead to lots of pain, lots of destruction for lots of people. It's a lie. No matter how much it glitters, no matter who's saying it, how smart they think they are, or how powerful they think they are, to live as if God doesn't exist is a very wicked and a very evil thing. To ignore our Creator, to live without gratitude, and to not pay any attention to what I just read, which is Christ became one of us to deal with all of what we know exists in the world. Everybody knows the reality of sin. It's one of the doctrines of the church that gets lived out every day, and it's in every newspaper. It's on every, just turn on the news, you'll see. Or even look into your own heart. Look at your behavior the last week. It's real. And contemporary society is aggressively trying to say that kind of the new Gnostic pagan type worldview that's emerged, this progressive kind of Gnosticism that's now alive as the story of God is being pushed further and further away, is that, you know, there is no sin in man in particular. Like, there is no original sin for sure. And that everything that we're somehow perfect, but there's structures and particular people outside us or institutions that are bad and evil, but not me. And I'm the master of my own life, that whatever I feel, whatever I experience internally, I determine what is good. And so every experience I have, because I'm fundamentally good, is good. And so whatever I feel, I say, guess what? That's my reality. That's my truth. And it comes from me. Therefore, it is good. There's no reference beyond that. There's no sense of the reality of what sin actually is, which that reading is the opposite of what Christ came to show us. which simply was prepared for by the prophets, you know. So like Jeremiah, who said, the human heart is, I'll use my own terminology, unbelievably wicked. There's tremendous sin. And Jesus was so clear. And with love, not with condemnation, he said, hey, look into your heart. Look what defiles you. Envy, jealousy, rivalry, conceit, anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, rage, lust. These things are in the human heart. The human heart is sin sick. So the famous line of Chesterton, it's not even a line, it's just three letters. When back in his day, when I think it was the London Times was asking the question, maybe post-war, you know, what's wrong with the world? And experts wrote pages and pages of what's wrong with the world. Chesterton just said, I am. That's an amazing insight. It's true. What's wrong with the world is the human heart, is the sin-sick human heart untouched by God's grace. Always leads to trouble. No matter how powerful, no matter how idealistic, you can't escape the reality that there are two powers so much greater than any human being at work in the world, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. The kingdom of darkness can't, it's not like two equal powers by any means whatsoever. The devil, though he's much more powerful than you are and I am on our own, or the collective, you know, the collective will of the people, the devil's more powerful, but he's a creature. He's not God. He's not a demigod. He's not equal to Christ or anything like that. Jesus disarmed him, broke his power, and showed us, he unmasked the lies of the enemy about where humanity can find freedom and happiness and life and meaning. And Jesus revealed it on the cross. The devil's filling our eyes and our gaze with lights and stimulation and big dreams and big power and big bombs and big this and big that, all the things to distract us and big lusts and you name it. But Jesus comes and he reveals to us humility, love, mercy, compassion, and God-directedness, and that the only way to live life on this earth is to live it under the gaze of God, receiving from God our identity, glorying in what God has done for us in Jesus, receiving it, walking in it, loving it, and sharing it with others. And the reality is this, what I just read in paragraph 663. One of us now, Jesus, what has he done? Human flesh had fallen from glory, was subject to death and eternal separation from God, had no capacity to reach the glory it longs for. And people are seeking glory in this world. We're trying to glorify ourselves left and right in this world, but it never lasts and it never satisfies because it's not the real glory we were made for, nor the glory that our heart longs for. And that glory now is given to us in Jesus, who became one of us, and he took human flesh into the presence of God. And it's now enthroned in his person, in Jesus, at the right hand of the Father. And the new creation has begun in him. And anybody who wants real glory, like real God, sharing in God's glory, it's on offer in the person of Jesus Christ through his church. But there is no other glory that will ever last. It's all fool's gold, but only in Jesus. I want to talk about that more tomorrow, friends. I hope you can tune in. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.